At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We are back, and the second half of the show is live, and what a first half, man. Commissioner Sankey just joining us in the big news today of Texas and Oklahoma. Prior to that, Greg McElroy, and then we had Kirk Herbstreit and Ross Dellinger. We still have the former commissioner in an hour and a half. We'll go to Austin for the reaction there, and Laura Rutledge and Joe Tessitore will be joining us in just a couple of minutes. So let's continue and talk to Sean in Buffalo, New York. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Paul. Hey, we're so excited. I mean, even up here in Buffalo for the expansion, and wanted to call. I suspect I've got three boys, and just like any other good parent raising their family, especially boys, football is at the center of our family. And I suspect my wife's last two maternity leaves have been planned in the fall so she can watch SEC Network and the Paul Feinbaum Show while she's at home nursing our children. But the last few years, we've contemplated moving to the South, and you've become a trusted voice in our family. And we were wondering if you could give us some advice. We noticed our home searches has centered around towns in the SEC, be it Starkville or Tuscaloosa or you name it. And who else can give better advice to us if we were looking to move to the South? Where is the best place in the SEC to raise a family?
Well, Sean, let me ask you a couple of pertinent questions. First of all, do you have a particular favorite team in the SEC?
Yeah, our house is divided amongst Alabama, LSU, and Florida. So there's different allegiances, but that's not necessarily going to be the deal breaker. It's more so we know football is going to be
maybe
fantastic.
Maybe a better question is who will be paying the bills?
Well, then that's me, and we would be not far from SEC headquarters over in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. Well, I have lived in a couple of I grew up in Tennessee. I went to school in Knoxville. I've lived in Louisiana. I've spent most of my life in Alabama. So I have a reasonable understanding. And I'll try to avoid, because, you know, nothing drives me crazier. You go to a restaurant and the server, you know, says, here are our four specials. And you say, well, you know, which one would you recommend? And she says, or he says, they're all good. I was at a restaurant last week in Alabama. And I ordered something, and the guy said, I think we can do better than that. So I want honesty. And, you know, he may have been right. I disregarded his advice. But my point being, you've given, I mean, Alabama is pretty dear to me. I think that's an understatement since I lived there the majority of my life. And my wife is from there. But, yeah, you know, I just think you have to, I love college towns. I've always wanted to live in one again. I haven't gotten any closer to it, but maybe down the road. So I would choose a college town myself.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we've been looking at is specifically, you know, we said to each other, do you realize all these homes that we're looking at are specifically focused around the SEC? And so where eventually do we pull the trigger?
The thing I like about a college town, and it's ironic, I've only lived in one in my life, the one where I went to college. But there's just so much going on there. If you're a sports fan, the calendar never ends, you know, from football to basketball to baseball to if you're a gymnastics fan or anything else or softball. So, I mean, to me, that's always been a lure if I ever did something other than what I'm currently doing. So, you know, I'm a big, you know, I mean, you live in Buffalo. My college roommate lived in Buffalo. What the average temperature there in the winter is, what, 30 below?
Well, I wouldn't quite say it's 30 below, Paul, but it is. It's not very conducive to a suntan.
No. I'm a warm weather guy. I mean, it's what 90. It's like 99 degrees today, and it's not hot enough for me. I think you're on the right track. How close are you to this decision?
Oh, I mean, I work in healthcare. I'm pretty sure, given my position, I can get up and go when we find the right spot. So it's just ultimately working up the courage to pull the trigger. So, you know, we're on the market. So if we're ready to sign, you know, maybe some NIL deal to come to some college town.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to think. If you move to Alabama, where the current COVID vaccination rate is 34%, I mean, there are probably some openings in various counties for the vaccination director.
Well, I don't know if you just did some research. That's exactly what I've been doing here in Buffalo, is running our vaccine program. So I might have a skill set to bring down to Alabama. But I really appreciate you taking our call, Paul. And, you know, you got fans up in Buffalo.
Hey, listen, you, Sean, as you get a little bit closer, you stay in touch with us. And we, one day, we'll just collectively use all of our resources and help you find the right place. How about that?
Well, we appreciate that, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been to Buffalo once. I went to Syracuse. I was doing a story once, and I flew into Syracuse on a January day, and it was about 12 degrees outside and 23 inches of snow, and that was it for upstate New York. Let's continue. More phone calls here, and Joseph is in Tupelo, Mississippi. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I'm glad you're doing well. I was just going to say that a question of mine that about Texas and Oklahoma coming in, I think that we should have not like the basketball situation is right now, like Greg McElroy was talking about, but I think we should keep the East and the West.
Joseph, I hear you, but I don't think it's going to be easy because it's very complicated. And I agree as a traditionalist, but traditional thinking is really very quickly going out the window.
I understand that, but it's hard to say, okay, we've got Ole Miss, LSU, you know, big rivalries. Ole Miss and State, big rivalries. We've got, you know, Auburn, Alabama is always playing.
Joseph,
and
let me give you some advice in the current strata of SEC. Whatever was is no longer. And I don't mean to be a killjoy here, but you just can't think in those terms. By adding two more schools, you broaden the scope of this league dramatically, and the conventional wisdom just won't apply anymore, as much as I hate to say that. Bob is up next in College Station. Hello, Bob.
Howdy, Paul. How you doing today?
Howdy.
With the certainty now that TU and Oklahoma are headed to the SEC, the schools that are left behind, you know, the kids that are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, do they still use the portal to transfer out? You know, because, you know, all the pundits keep saying, well, now the Big 12 is going to be history, it's going to be dead. So, you know, why would they want to hang around? So could they use the
transfer portal? Right now, first of all, we don't know when this is going to happen. So for the time, you know, for this year and at least for this year, Oklahoma and Texas are in the Big 12. But, yeah, I don't think anybody who dives into the portal is really concerned about those things. You go into the portal because you want to play. It's really as simple as that. Hey, we must go to a break. We got a big interview coming up here with Laura Rutledge and Joe Tessitore. We've already had Kirk Herbstreit on, the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, Ross Dellinger. Later on, former SEC commissioner Roy Kramer. We are coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction?
Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And thank you, and welcome back. And we are joined by a couple of just family friends here, Joe Tessitore and Laura Rutledge, to get their opinions on this momentous day. Laura, let me start with you, only because if I started with Joe, you would never get included. So I will I'll ask you just what your reaction has been. You were there on the set when this story first broke, and 8 days, 9 days have passed, and now it is we are well on our way.
You know, Paul, I think the best way to put how I feel about Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC is just joyful. I think this is going to be so much fun. And admittedly, I'm an SEC girl, right? So I understand why I would feel that way. But I think even from a bigger picture standpoint, when you look at this and you look at what we are going to be able to experience, the great traditions of Texas and Oklahoma being added to an already tradition-rich conference in the SEC, there's so many stories, there's so many exciting championships, games, things that are going to happen that I just think we're going to look back on this and say, we can't even remember what it was like before Texas and Oklahoma were part of this conference. And I just want to add, the early part of my career, I covered the Big 12 exclusively. That was all I did. And being able to go to those campuses and being able to see what the culture is like in the Big 12 and the way that they operate and some of their rivalries that are already in place that now are only going to grow even stronger, but then added to as well with the rivalries that'll develop in the SEC. It's just fun to think about them joining. I've also covered Oklahoma for a few college football playoffs. And let me tell you, they are an incredibly talented group. They are a group that I think across the board, not just in football, but beyond in other sports, there's a lot to be excited about. And certainly we know what Texas brings to the table. I'm ready for Tess to do a big Texas is back, but maybe he should do Texas is in the SEC. Come on, Joe.
Texas is backing up the Brinks truck is what Texas is back to. They're backing up the Brinks truck. But, Paul, let me say this, and, Laura, I want to get your perspective because, Paul, Laura and I are uniquely equipped to make this comparable, right, because of what our careers, and for Laura, you know, obviously her education as well, but our careers have been embedded in the SEC for a very, very long time. However, in recent years, we both have gone off to the NFL, so we understand the landscape of the two premier sports labels in America. Now, I would say, and tell me if I'm off here, but I would say now when you add Texas and Oklahoma to the mix and you start talking about power brands, blue chip brands, listen, here's the little secret about the NFL. It has the most eyeballs, right? Culturally, it's the number one centerpiece in America, but it's not as top heavy as you think it to be. When you sit in programming meetings for the NFL, when somebody like Laura is putting through the editorial content, stacking a show for NFL Live, when you're going about Monday Night Football, you realize it's the NFC East, it's the Giants, the Cowboys, it's the Steelers, the Packers, Chicago. You only have X amount of what we consider no-brainer, blue chip, power brands in the NFL. Then you cycle through teams that are hot, teams that are playing well, teams that have burgeoning and ascendant star young quarterbacks. That's not how college football works. When you're programming college football, when you're sitting there and you're talking about relevancy and brand and marketing and power structure, you know it is a no-brainer when you have Texas, Oklahoma, A&M, LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia. So you tell me, pound for pound, the SEC and what it is now is more top-heavy and has more blue-chip five-star brands than the NFL, right or wrong?
I would say that's correct.
Yeah, Laura, why don't you expound on that since he was talking to you? I'm just a wildflower here.
Paul, he's talking to you too. Hey, here's the fact of the matter. All anyone cares about what somebody thinks about here is people care about Paul. But I agree with that. I really do think that when you talk about brand names that are associated with football in general, you know, now the SEC has all of them, right? There's certainly a few others, of course. But I do think that we are entering into an age where, you know, people talk about super conferences and the restructuring of college football. Yeah, that's happening. That was probably already happening. But for these brand names like Texas and Oklahoma that are so well thought of and so respected and so known in this landscape and even beyond to reach out and want to become part of the SEC, for the SEC to do what's right here and listen and say, yep, we'll take you on. I believe it is one of the most monumental things that we have ever seen happen in college football and in football in general. To Tess's point, we are talking about the biggest brands are all concentrated in the SEC. And yeah, it's not just the SEC becoming king. It's the college football world becoming king and everybody talking about that in the epicenter being right there in the Southeastern Conference. Paul, my question is, you think it happens any sooner than 2025? Like, can we get this thing going a little quicker here? Because I'm ready for it to happen next season.
Yeah.
Might be a little soon, but.
Yeah, and Joe, I want to ask you about that because, you know, it's hard to imagine with frayed relationships like they are for this to go on a long time. And usually, I haven't been down this road, but you can usually buy your way out of bad relationships.
Of course.
I don't know why I'm looking at you, Joe.
Yeah, well, listen, all contracts are negotiable, and this one is going to be negotiated. And here's what's different here, because we've all been through the waves of realignment, of conference expansion. Folks, this may have the label of conference expansion, of the shuffling of the chess pieces as we get ready for new media rights. That's not what this is. You will realize in 5 to 10 years what this was. Mark down this day. This is the end of what you've known student athlete college football to be. This is the beginning of college football premier, of college football elite, of where you have programs that could and would and now will play at a certain level, much like you have with European club programs in other sports, where they are simply going to be representative of the college tradition, colors, label, lineage, and history, but they will be satellite academies to just put forth professional football. And that is what you're going to get. People talk about, oh, we're going to have conference expansion. We're going to be left with two conferences. Don't even use the word conference. What we're going to have is college football. That's about 18, 24, maybe 30 teams who are capable of conducting themselves and willing to do so at a certain level and be ancillary and satellite representatives to the lineage, tradition, and the school.
And Laura, that's interesting because, you know, we try to look at everyone being included, but that's not exactly what we're watching and certainly not what we just heard from Joe.
Yeah, you know, I think there are a few different ways to look at this. And certainly, you know, what Joe's talking about is incredibly exciting, right? That's something that everybody hopes will happen. You hope that you'll see that going down the pipe. And whether you realize you hope it right now or not, you will end up, to Joe's point, you'll look back and say, you know, this was so important in what we wanted this sport to become and what is best for the athletes, which ultimately many of them will be professionals. It just matters what time that happens. You know, I think too, when you talk about, from a fan perspective, what this is actually going to be like. And that's what a lot of fans want to know. Like, well, what does this mean for me? You know, I've heard from many fans who have said, well, we don't want them. We don't need Texas and Oklahoma. Well, okay, fine. But if you're that worried about them, then just go out and beat them, right? That's what this all comes down to. Just find a way to be better than Texas and Oklahoma. Ultimately, it makes the conference better. It makes our traditions better, as we've said multiple times here. It makes college football better, and it does change the way that this all looks. But I think for a fan, if you're looking for what to really be excited about, go on the road. Go in and see a Texas game down the road. See them playing your team. You know, go experience their traditions, their towns. Go to Oklahoma. Go to Norman. There's an incredible football tradition there. Go and see their facilities. See what their fan base is like. Welcome their fans with open arms when they end up coming to your campus. You know, these Texas fans, these Oklahoma fans. In fact, I was actually speaking to Lincoln Riley, the head coach of Oklahoma, last night. He was saying to me how excited they are. They are so excited for this. And listen, you know, maybe you say that's offensive to the Big 12. Well, at this point, that's in the past. Right now, what we're looking toward is the future. And I think there's a lot on all sides to really just be happy about and to be anticipating in a way that we never thought we could.
Joe, let me give you the last word here. We only have a couple of seconds left, translation, however long you want to go. But from a historical standpoint, you've already alluded to this moment in time, but look a little bit broader. Yes. in the course of college football history. Where do you think this moment will be regarded?
Number one fork in the road that the sport has ever known. There are many forks in the road that the sport has had. Obviously, what happened in the court system in the early 80s of the colleges getting their TV rights back in their hands was significant. It paved the way for what we saw for the next 35 years. This is far different than that. And I know on the surface level, it looks like one thing today. I see this as very different than that, because college football has long been the second biggest sport in America. However, rights fees, certain marketing agreements, it still acts like a regional sport in certain pockets, in certain agreements. So what this is not just a market correction. It's really the start of filling the gap of realized value of where the sport truly should be, what it's worth, and what are the realities of it. It's been burdened and anchored with an archaic system, with some regional ties, with the divisions and conferences, with certain media rights. And this is the first of seeing somebody, and thank God for Greg Sankey, we wouldn't even be in the position. And I'm not saying the SEC, the entire sport wouldn't be in the position. The sport is void of certain leadership that almost collapsed it 1 year ago right now. And thank God somebody stepped up like a leader and said, we're marching forward. And now it's not just we're marching forward, but I'm being strategic with business and saying, here's where the sport must go to realize its fullest potential. And that's what's happening. We are filling that gap to realize value in the course of the next 5 to 10 years. This will be not a super conference. It'll be college football elite and then student athlete college football as you know it.
Joe Tessitore and Laura Rutledge, thank you both so much. I could do this all day and forever, but they're telling me we have to wrap it up.
I'm not going anywhere, Paul.
Well,
okay. Just call me up.
If Joe keeps talking, we will be here all day. So, I'm good with that.
You got that okay. Right.
Difference I'll here, Paul.
Another espresso, please.
You know, Joe has bring nice scenery. I'm in my car.
Thank you.
Not far away from the birthplace of Greg Sankey and Mike Slive, where I am right now. Upstate New York, the beautiful Adirondack Mountains.
Oh,
good to
geez.
Visit with you, Paul.
Bye, Paul.
Thank you both very much. We are coming right back, I think.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
McConaughey tweeting that he's all in on the move to the SEC, excited to join. The pride and tradition of UT Austin is not for the weak or timid. Here we go. So the sage of Austin has spoken. Don is in Oklahoma. Hello, Don. Good afternoon to you.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You sound great.
Yeah, I just wanted to step back a few years. I just happened to catch your show right before the Oklahoma-Tennessee game just a few years ago. And you were really ragging on Bob Stoops for some reason, calling him irrelevant. So I just wonder, what was this animosity? Is it against Bob Stoops personally or the University of Oklahoma? Because then OU came back with a miraculous second quarter, second half.
For me to start responding to everything I've said over the last 7 years, I think would be we would need to have a marathon show. But I have no problem with Bob Stoops, and obviously you're not paying attention to this program. We've talked to Bob a number of times since then. That was a long time ago. But thank you for asking. Anyway, legend, am I going to be on trial now for every comment I've ever made in the past?
Yeah, as the show gets bigger, Paul, they're going to put you to it, brother.
I heard you made a comment, legend, in 1937. I want a full accounting of that.
What are you talking about, 1937?
Hey, legend, let me ask you this. So you're kind of the conscience of this show back in the day. Well, what do you make out of all this Texas and OU conversation?
I love it, Paul. I love it, man. You remember Freak Flag Fridays?
I do remember that.
Hey, man, these Texas fans are some college football freaks, Paul. I love it, Paul. I love it. Hey, no offense to you, Paul. The real UT.
Go ahead. I mean,
no offense to you there, Paul.
Go ahead and kick a state while it's down.
Hey, I'm smoking the victory cigar as we speak for this season. Matter of fact, so it's a Philip Farmer thing for me, Paul. But I'm excited, man. I mean, these Texas fans are some freaks, man. And hey, I love the passion. I love it, man. I love it. I freaking love it, Paul. And having said that, now that they've been accepted into the league, Paul, let me just say to you, to the real UT, come on in, sit your butt down, raise your hand. Nick Saban will get to you. Don't speak out of line. Sit in your chair and shut up until we speak to you. Okay, the real UT, that's what time it is. Come. Because we run this, baby. And let me tell the Texas callers something, too. The Feinbaum House, the Bama callers run this, baby. Now, don't think you're going to come up in here and take over, because it ain't going to happen. I've been living in the Feinbaum House for 15 years, baby. It ain't going to happen, Paul. So just come in, sit down, and shut up. Raise your hand. Nick will get to you. Hey, Paul, wouldn't you agree, though, that the Alabama and OU fan base has always kind of had a man crush with each other?
Yeah. I mean, I think I remember the two games almost 20 years ago. I went to Norman, and obviously the game the next year when Shula was the coach. And I think there's a lot of commonality between the two programs other than the color.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. I mean, I remember as a kid playing J.C. Watts and my brother playing Billy Sims in the front yard. I mean, come on. I mean, I always loved the Sooners. I mean, my cousin David, he's dead now. He died on a motorcycle wreck in 89. But he cut his hair like Brian Bosworth. We used to call him the Boss, Paul. I mean, there's always been a man crush between the Oklahoma and Alabama fan base, man. I mean, and so let me say now that
I understand that. But I'm more interested in this other relationship, though, because I just have a bad feeling about the coalescing of Texas fans and Alabama fans, legend, because Oklahoma's fine, but Texas is, has that, they feel like they are Alabama. I mean, I remember being out at the Rose Bowl 11 years ago. That was not a pretty scene before the game. The Texas fans just kind of walked all over the rest of us.
You know, the thing about Texas fans, they're kind of like the Tonya Harden of college football. They will break a D to win a game, but when it really counts, they ain't going to have no good results, Paul. I mean, they are definitely the Tonya Harden of college football. I mean, in their own eyes, they are giants, and they once were. As far as sitting at the head of the table, they might be sweeping up around the table, going getting Nick's coffee and that kind of stuff. But they are delusional.
Do you remember when this story came out, 2013, that Texas wanted to hire Nick Saban? And, you know, we put out the number. It was $100 million, a couple of sources told us. And I remember Texas fans calling in saying, we didn't want Nick Saban.
Yeah, but they want him now, though. And ain't it funny, they went and got his assistant. Yeah, you going to sit at the head of the table, but you had to go to us to get a coach. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I love that they're coming in the conference, but a part of me just wants to slap the hell out of them, Paul, like a Ric Flair elbow coming off the top rope, DDT in their ass in the middle of the ring like Jake Roberts, and 1, 2, 3, counting their butt out because they made it like they didn't need the SEC. Well, guess what, Texas? In the end, you needed us. That's right. You needed us to become a king again. You needed the king to become a king. And you ain't no damn Jerry Lawyer. You're more like Gorgeous George. So let's get it right. I mean, let's get that right, Paul, right there off the top, baby. It's a Freak Flag Friday, Flying Bomb. We run this thing, Texas. Understand that. And everything else will be all right. OU, come in. Kick your shoes off. Get whatever you want out of the refrigerator. Make yourself at home. Peace out, Paul.
Man, the friendship groups are already forming in the prison. Let's take a break. More to come. 855-242-7285, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Great to have all of you here. Lee is in Ohio. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And all I want to say is these people who are saying that Texas and Oklahoma coming into SEC, saying it's going to end these longstanding rivalries, these are short-sighted idiots, in my opinion, because it's not going to end any of the old-time rivalries. They're going to do everything they can to keep those in place. Plus, it's going to reignite the rivalry between Texas and Texas, and in which I think was like the sixth oldest one in the nation. You know, it's going to reignite. It's going to ignite new rivalries between teams. It's the best thing that can happen. What these people are afraid of, in my opinion, is it's going to create a Power Three, a group of six, and one super elite conference. And that's what it's going to turn into.
You're absolutely right, Lee. Thank you for sharing that. Good to have you on. Joel is up next in Florida. Hello, Joel. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Great show.
Thank you.
I guess Taylor Hicks is going to have to come up with a new song.
Yeah, I hope Taylor. I think Taylor is already in the studio working on, but you know, can't do it yet. Have to wait for them to get a start date.
But as a UCF and college football fan, I'm going to kind of side with Herbie on this. I'm concerned about the overall impact on college football for teams not named Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma. Where is it going to leave the, you know, where is it going to leave the mid school, the UCF, the middle schools? I'm also concerned that the SEC may expand further, Clemson, et cetera, become a minor league of the NFL. And then what's to say the NFL is not going to raid college after a year like they do basketball?
Joe, I talked to a trustee today of a major school in a major conference.
Okay.
And he told me he thought there was going to be just a complete dissolving of the current structure as we know it, that those schools that are serious, and I know they all say they are, but those schools who are genuinely serious and will put their money where their mouth is about academics and the fine line between student and athletes are going to throw up a blanket over this, and they're not going to go along with it. The situation with NIL is already taking us down one road, but
sure.
This is a completely different situation. I mean, we're not just talking about money here. We're talking about billions.
Agreed, but if you leave, there's 130 Division I schools. If 100 of them are not participating,
no.
Overall, I don't think it helps the Ravens.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, like it or not, I mean, we are looking at a model that is going to resemble the NFL. The NFL has 32 teams, and I don't think college football is going to have a whole lot more than that who are going to be a factor. We're talking down the road, not next year.
That's what I love about college football, that it's not the NFL. You know, that an Appalachian State can go into Michigan and beat them, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, and Joe, I will say that, you know, if you want to blame it on the SEC, that's fine. Great. Good for you.
No, I'm not saying that.
I mean, what's already happened in the month of July, what a month this has been, has already affected everything that a lot of people, traditionalists, have held dear or are holding dear. I mean, everything is getting blown up before our eyes. It's been coming for a long time. We would have gotten to it, but you know, the absolute dearth of leadership in Indianapolis, it's abominable. I mean, I thought about using the word criminal, but I'm not sure that's accurate. But it's close.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I just feel for the fans of Texas Tech and Baylor, and they're hung out to dry.
They are, and you know, Baylor won a national championship in basketball this year. That's great, but the football and the idea that they're going to be that all these schools are going to be able to hang, and it's a little early. I mean, you know, writing history while it happens is necessary, but it's not always very accurate. Hey, thank you so much for the phone call. Paul is up next in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You're on the air.
Whoopig, Paul. Thanks for the call. This show has been so good. Your guest this last 2 weeks, or do you win like a daytime Emmy, or what is it that you qualify for?
Well, I am just so proud of what everybody here has done, because you live for big moments when you do what we do. This is a live show. You know, we prepare, but you never know what's going to happen once 3 o'clock comes. And
sure,
really, it's been extraordinary. And I give all the credit to the men and women behind the scenes who are just always working on the fly from the moment that our producer Hannah went and grabbed I don't know where she grabbed Ross Bjork out of, but she dragged him up to the set when that story broke to write this moment.
No, it's great, Paul. And I mean, I'm hearing your theme song in my head when I wake up, because I'm watching you so much.
Well, I appreciate that. And the one thing that's so interesting is we're a month away from the season, and really for a week and a half, I mean, we haven't talked about a single moment. and I know people maybe are ready for that. We're all ready for that. This has been the most exciting build-up to a season, or will be. But this is a generational story here.
No, you're right, and that's what I was calling up for. That first weekend's got a lot of power games. Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, Miami. Who else is it? I think A&M is going out to Colorado,
right.
LSU, UCLA. And then there's Arkansas, Texas, Wupig. I mean, the first week or so is stacked.
No, I've said it before, and I'll continue. I just, you know, that second weekend you have, I think the second weekend you also have Auburn at Penn State, but that Texas game, Texas plays Louisiana the first week. That is a very difficult game, and then they have to go to Fayetteville, and that could be a defining program changer for Sam Pittman. One more hour to go.